been given this book. It is the Word of God. It is truth. It is God's revelation for His creation. That's you. This is God's revelation given to you. And in this book, you will find description of God. You will find the description of His character. You'll find why He placed us here. You'll find the purpose for the church. You'll read all about the Messiah and the coming Messiah and the Savior of the world that we just celebrated with communion this morning. You will see our purpose. You'll see our hope. You'll see where we're headed because we have given our hearts and lives to Christ. And God has prepared a place for us. John 14 says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know, sometimes people think of church as almost, if you think of a pie cut into 8 pieces, it's like religion or church is one little piece of the pie. But what we know is our relationship with God is the whole pie. It's everything. It's everything that we are. It's our God who has made Himself known to us, and we respond by faith, and we believe in Him, and we walk with Him. He's prepared a place, and we could teach all the book of Revelation right now about all the things that are going to unfold. But Christ is going to take His church to heaven. His church meaning the people who believe and trust in Him. And there will be a time of tribulation, which is shown very clearly in examples like the flood with Noah, how people who reject God will be judged. But all this time, like Noah being a faithful preacher of righteousness, we are the faithful preachers of God's righteousness to the world. And so, man, okay, that's just kind of pictures and introduction. I wanted you to get a little sense of where I was. And by the way, there was terrific, solid Bible teaching the whole week while we were there. Seminars, main sessions where we were all listening. And just one more time. God clearly makes Himself known. Romans 1 says, the evidence of God is everywhere. The Romans 1 says, there is not one person in the world who can't see the evidence of God. People either choose to believe God or reject God. And by the grace of God, like John Newton, amazing grace, God has drawn and we have responded, and here we are, worshiping together. And someday we're going to be in heaven by His grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began, even right here at Pioneer Bible Church. Colossians chapter 1 is where we're headed, and I'm going to pray again. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the truth. I pray, Lord, that You would guide us through and that we would be challenged by Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have heard... Have you ever heard of the phrase, practice what you preach? Right? Sure we have. Practice what you preach. What does that basically mean? It means if you say you're something, you should be what? Doing it. That's exactly right. And so this message I have just called, it's the vertical and the horizontal. Okay? So I'm going to try to simply describe this. We have a vertical relationship with our Creator, our God, our Savior. We have a vertical relationship, and we have a horizontal relationship. And that's right here. Me and you, we have a horizontal relationship. So we are saved by the grace of God, and we live right here in this world. And since we're saved by the grace of God, we have both the privilege and responsibility to live in a Christ-like way. Doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we don't struggle and fail at times. But God, the Holy Spirit, convicts us and teaches us and reminds us and gets us back on track. And our call as Christian people is that we have a vertical relationship with God, but we live out our faith right here in how we love one another. And I'd like to read from Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to point out where I found this and then use some scriptures to just nail it down. Colossians 1 verse 3 is where we're going. There you go. Day-to-day faith, and right there is Colossians chapter 1 verse 3. Paul says to the people in Colossae, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Can you just stop with me right there? And you can look right up at the screen, and I underline these two things in verse 4. It says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. What relationship does that relate to when I said vertical and horizontal? We heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. That's my relationship with Christ. That's your relationship with Christ. And then the second half of verse 4 says, and of the love that you have for all the saints. That's this relationship. That's the horizontal relationship. So we've heard about your faith in Christ, and we've heard about your love for the brethren. Okay? And if you go through Scripture and you just have that idea in mind, you will constantly see how the believers with God, in God, have a relationship with God, and they live in this world. And living in this world is hard, it's tricky, it's challenging, it's stretching, it is everything. But we are challenged to live in Christ and live with each other. And so let me continue reading. Verse 5, because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. Here we're describing the vertical relationship, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing. So let me just point out right there that the gospel that is at work in people's lives, that we've been saved, it says this message has gone out to the whole world and it's bearing fruit and increasing. That bearing fruit and increasing is this horizontal relationship. It's you knowing Christ, living your faith, telling other people about Christ, and it is making fruit, which means people are learning about Christ, people are growing in Christ, people are building relationship with Christ. So it says in this word again, has indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras. And that would be an example of the horizontal relationship. Epaphras, let's say Brad was a pastor and he's teaching the word and somebody hears it, and Paxton hears it, and he's saying that, you know, Epaphras was telling the truth to Paxton. In this case, the Colossian people had heard the truth from Epaphras. So we've got the vertical work of God, and then we are the ambassadors of Christ who are telling the good news of Christ to the people that are around us. Continuing, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And if you just kind of look at those words and see, wow, so he was a faithful minister. This is the realm we minister on. We minister to each other. We pray for each other. We care about each other. We share the gospel with each other. It says Epaphras was a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And I'm just going to stop there. I need to go to some of my notes because I'd like to bring in some other passages of Scripture. So we've kind of looked at that. I want to look at Philippians chapter 1. It'll be up on the screen. And this this is just a verse of scripture that speaks to the topic we're talking about. Paul says to the Philippians, we'll go down a couple, there it is right there. So he's speaking to the Christian people. So he's speaking to us. And he says, let your manner of life, that's the horizontal part, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel, the vertical point. Okay? So let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So Paul says, whether I come and see you or are absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit. What is he saying? He's saying, whether I'm with you or whether I am apart from you, what does Paul want to hear about the people? That they're living and walking with Christ. They're loving one another. They're caring for one another. They're living out their faith with each other. It says that you are standing firm in one spirit. That's the unity of the Spirit of Christ in us, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. So I just wrote vertical. Christians by faith believe in God and the gospel, and horizontally, Christians daily live their faith by daily action. And from the day of salvation until the day we enter Christ's presence in glory, we trust him and we walk with him. You know, back to that phrase, practice what you preach. It's important, and it actually is evidence of our faith and trust in Christ when we're living what we say. So what do you call someone who doesn't practice what they preach? Yeah, it's not a very fun word, but people who don't practice what they preach, we call them a hypocrite. It's because they're saying one thing and what? And doing another. And so, now the good part about all this is that when you're saved, you become the abode of both the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So God is at work in you. Philippians 1:6, it says, he who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ. So when I'm challenging you to not be a hypocrite, it is God himself who is helping you to live for him. Does that make sense? So God's not asking you to do something all on your own strength. I wanted to go back. There's a couple of verses I wrote out. You remember these words? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's a great truth. When we are walking and living our faith, this other scripture, it is evidenced that Christ is in us and he is the hope of glory. And I didn't look those references up, but I just wanted to share those Bible verses with you. So then if we go down to another verse in Ephesians chapter 2, it's on the next slide. And I didn't put Ephesians 2 on here, but you can know that's where we found it. Can you guys go ahead and advance to the next slide, please? Thanks. So you've all heard these words. The verse says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That's the vertical part. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. So no one can be saved by keeping a list of rules or thinking that they can come up with a righteousness on their own that God would be pleased with. It's a gift from God. Praise God for that. Verse 9, again, not as a result of works so that no one may boast. Verse 10 is where we again combine kind of the vertical with the horizontal. Verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. My little summary at the bottom, God prepared believers to walk in step with his purposes. He saved us. He fills us. He teaches us through the word of God, and we live for Christ. that first verse we looked at in Philippians chapter 1, it says that you might walk worthy of the gospel. Okay? And by the way, I just want to thank you as Pioneer Bible Church, my brothers and sisters, for walking in Christ all these years. Earlier I said, if you're new with us, we're a family. Well, I've been family with some of you for almost 30 years. And you know what I've seen over 30 years? Is that God is just at work in your lives. You love him. You serve him. You care about the Lord. You care about walking with the Lord. And it is such a joy for me. You know, it's even my prayer. God, keep me consistent. Keep me faithful. Keep me walking with Christ. You know, I think of all the years that you've taught Sunday school and all the years that you've helped with youth group and all the years that you've done Awana. It's been a lot of years, huh, Ruth? All our faithful teams in Awana. 27 years. Yep. Our people are in for the long haul. I'm very grateful. God prepares believers to walk in step with his purpose. The next line, he prepared us for this walk before the world was created. And that's a whole statement about the sovereignty of God, the all-knowingness of God, that before creation was even begun, spoken into existence, somehow God, who is God, knew you, knew your name, knew you would be in Somerset in 2023, and that we would know Christ and be walking with him. Amen. So here we are. Let's go to the next verse, the next slide. This is kind of an interesting slide to see. How many of you guys remember the man named Jim Elliot? Does that name ring a bell? Jim Elliot. He was a young man who God compelled him to go to the Aka Indians. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Maybe I'm in the right place. Maybe I flipped too many pages. Jim Elliot was a young man who was, what did I do? Maybe I did flip two pages. And these guys are right and I'm wrong. There it is. Okay. Jim Elliot was a man who went to the Aka Indians, and the whole idea, in the middle of this journal entry that he wrote, he said right here, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Do you remember that phrase? We've heard that so many times. And Jim Elliot gave his life as a young man along with four other missionaries who went to the Aka Indians. And the whole idea was, and now, you guys, I did mix it up. So go back one slide, if you would. And I want to take you to this scripture in the book of Matthew. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, you guys know this verse, right? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Okay? So in this verse of scripture, we simply see these truths about Christian people. Believers take up their cross. They give their lives. They give their lives to be spent by God and for God's purposes. This person is a follower of Christ. This person is willing to lose his life for Jesus Christ. See, the thing that we know is, and it is tricky, as you said, Jane, the thing that we know is that we have to responsibly live in this world. Moms have to take care of their kids and their grandkids. And, you know, we have houses that we are paying for, and so we make payments and we pay taxes and we do all these horizontal things. But what we as Christians know overall is that we live for Christ. So in that third line, willing to lose his life for Christ Jesus. And then the line from Jim Elliot, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep that passage in the Gospels again, and I'm just pulling this out of my mind. I didn't write it down, but where there's a parable about a master who goes away, and then the master returns. And what does the master want to find his servants doing? Being faithful, doing their job. Well, our master is away, so to speak, and he has left us to do a job. And so what he wants to find is his servants faithfully serving him. Now, if you'd go to the next slide for me, Mark, that would be great. Or whoever's back there. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yes. It was actually the wives of the missionaries whose husbands were killed who went back to those tribes and shared the gospel and raised their children amongst these originally savage tribes. And now out of those tribes, almost all of the people have been saved, and out of them have come pastors and missionaries that have gone to other tribes and other places. Yeah. Yeah, this story, The End of the Spear. By the way, it's on YouTube. You should watch it. It's an amazing testimony of this story. Yeah, called The End of the Spear. Let's go to the next slide. You know, it's only 10:40 by that clock. I realize that I'm watching the wrong clock back there. All right, let's, you guys, this slide has another part to it. It's two columns side by side. Maybe it just didn't come out right. Do you guys know the passage in John 15? Of course you do, where it talks about abiding in Christ. And let's just look at the right side. In that passage, thank you. Wow, you guys, that was great. So here's what we do as Christian people. These are the kinds of things we're called to. We're called to walk the talk, practice what we preach. We learn that fruit comes from the root, right? And so we are rooted in Christ. And so there is fruit from the root that we have in Christ. You can gather from that if there is no root, there is no fruit. Right? We have to be rooted in Christ to have fruit that is glorifying to Christ. The Bible tells us that the fruitless branch is taken away, which is a motivation to me to be faithful along the way. The fruitful branch is also pruned, we learn in John 15, which means that sometimes God may be doing a little surgery or a little pruning in your spiritual life. Because he wants you to be what? More fruitful. He wants you to be more fruitful. And, you know, I'm flesh enough to know that I need pruning along the way. He says to us in John 15, abide in the vine. A challenge to abide. Again, on the top on the right, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And you just, if you extrapolate out of that phrase, a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And you just think of it very practically. If a branch is broken off from the vine, will there be any fruit? None. It has to be in the vine. We have to be in Christ. If you're going to have fruit that is glorifying to Christ in your life, you have to abide in Christ, in the vine. That's why we do simple things like reading God's word and praying, taking time to pray, to seek the Lord. You think of in Matthew chapter 6 where the disciples say, how do we pray? And Jesus says, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Help me finish it. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. What's going to last is what you do for Christ. Remember that little jingle? Only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last, right? And we know that. He who abides in me will bear much fruit. We must abide to be able to grow and to produce. If effectively grafted, there will be signs of life and growth and fruit. And we're talking about being grafted into Christ. And then finally, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if it's 20 minutes to 11, it's 20 minutes to 12. So we'll just stop right there. Would you guys go to the very last slide? I think the very last slide is that the last one? Let's see, there's a song right at the end. We're just going to sing. Yep, go back two. One, two. Go back there. Oh, there it is. You guys remember this little chorus? There it is. There, it's perfect. Thank you very much. This little song goes like this, and I would encourage you to let this be a prayer for you. It goes, I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Sing that one more time. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that you have made possible a vertical relationship with you. We see that in Colossians chapter 1, where the Colossian people are responding to the gospel, the good news of God. And then, Lord, you gift us and you fill us to be able to serve one another, to live, as Jane said, this tricky life we have here. And Lord, thank you that you have reminded us that we only have one life, and honestly, it will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last for eternity. So Lord, I thank you for this gathering of God's people. And I will say, if there's someone here who has never put their faith and trust in Christ, that is an invitation for you right now. I'll be here. I'd be happy to talk with you and pray with you to receive Christ. Lord, thank you that you have poured your grace out on us and that we are followers of Christ, Christians, because of your grace. Lord, help us to, as Philippians 1 says, walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. Thank you that we can pray for each other, encourage each other to do that. We can be here and serve alongside one another. Thank you again, Lord, for the faithful Christ followers of Pioneer Bible Church. Lord, give us strength because sometimes we get weary. Give us health so that we can serve you, Lord, and give us a passion for the people in our community who have never met Christ the Savior. Lord, thank you that this church is open and that we can invite people to grow, to learn more and more about you. We pray these